The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the holy name of Jesus, amen. One of the best commercials that has come out with the playing of the Olympics has been the recounting of little children learning how to play sports and their failures. You may have seen this commercial on where the kid is trying to start walking and constantly is falling down. Then they start showing all of these kids participating in winter sports, ice skating, skiing, and they're falling down all over the place. And they're constantly recounting broken bones, tears, and failures with these kids until eventually they show that these kids, who are now older adults, are in the Olympics. This is a wonderful picture for Lent and you and me. Lent is all about our failures, talking about them gently, but acknowledging them, not only before God, but before ourselves. Lent really is all about the failures. But more so in anything, Lent is also full of grace. But Lent reminds us of those failures. And that is so terribly unpopular today, because nobody loses, right? Everybody is a successful person somehow, some way. Everyone gets a trophy. And yet we also know that this just isn't true for your life and my life. Recently, about 2 months ago, I started working out with a personal trainer. And this has been an amazing sort of thing for me to encounter, because it shows me one-on-one where my failures are. Strength? Sure, I have it. Flexibility? Absolutely not. I mean, do I look flexible? No, I'm not. But one of the things that this trainer has taught me, and I think it's a perfect picture for us in the church, is to look at your failures and to learn from them, to learn what your limits are and where you can go and where you can't go, where you should go and where you shouldn't go. And that in the end, he said, you will see results. As we would maybe like to say in the life of the church, you will bear fruit. If a personal trainer is talking about this, then why can't we talk about it in the life of the church? Not to keep everything hush-hush and not to look at everything and say, this is a big moralistic club here, but to simply acknowledge what our failures are in life. But we're not going to bring you up here and ask you to do that in front of everybody, but to take a step back and look at these things. But not even to make you feel guilty, which I'm sure you do just as much as I do, or ashamed, but so that we may bear fruit for the kingdom of God here and now. If you're not so sure about this, go back to our gospel reading for today. Jesus simply asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" They were in the midst of Caesarea Philippi, an area that has all this pluralistic views of religion, all these various altars to various gods, polytheism, we would say. Many gods are being worshipped and adored in this area. And Jesus is with his disciples in this area, and he says, "Who do you say that I am?" Forget what they say about me. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answers wonderfully, "You are the Christ, the Son of God. You are God in human flesh and blood. You are the long-awaited Messiah." Great. He gets an A+ for his answer. And then Jesus begins to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And if you look at your bulletin on verse 32, he says this plainly. There's no cloak and dagger. There's no bait and switch. He tells them why he has come, to suffer for the sins that I have committed and that you've committed and that everyone has committed. And he tells them the realities of this plainly. And Peter pulls him aside and rebukes him. All of a sudden, the A+ student is a failure. And not only on top of that, Jesus turns around and calls him Satan himself. Peter, who we name churches after, Peter, who was the house chief of the apostles, all of a sudden is one big fat failure when he hears the true realities of what the gospel and about following Christ is all about. It is about Jesus coming, not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for you. It is about Jesus coming to take on all of my failures and all of your failures and to put them to death on the cross. It is Jesus giving up his life as a ransom for the entire world to suffer every last bit of sin, shame, and guilt of every person that has ever lived. And Peter will have none of this. Peter rebukes the Son of God. No way. This is not going to happen. And so Jesus calls him out for his failure. "You are Satan." And I love what he says actually in the King James Version. He basically tells Peter, "You savor the things of man, but you do not savor the things of God." Savoring these things. Savoring the things of man, savoring the sins that we like to get wrapped up in. We like how they taste. We like how they feel. We like how they live out in our lives, even though they produce death. For the wages of sin is death, as we know from Scripture. Jesus calls out Peter bluntly and openly for where he has failed. Not to make him feel like he's bad, not to make him feel like he's being judgmental, but to correct him and so that he may bear fruit. But the reality is that Peter doesn't see that at the time. Peter does not openly see the empty tomb on Easter, which is going to happen a few weeks later. Peter does not see any of this. He only hears what Jesus has to say in the harsh reality of his biting words. And they sting. But make no mistake about this. God can take our failures and produce fruit. For Jesus is all about grace. And grace is all about bringing forth life in us. And if it isn't bad enough with Peter, all of the disciples are this way. All of the people that Jesus called out, the 12 disciples whom he called out, are all this way. James and John say to Jesus, "Hey, let us have one of us sit on your right and on your left." Thomas hears Jesus say, "You know where I'm going," and he says, "No, we don't." Peter comes out on the water, walking on the water with Jesus, and he sinks. Peter also is one who will deny Jesus before a teenage girl around a fire as Jesus is put on trial and eventually crucified. Judas is probably the one that is really only the real worst of them all, but he was still called by Jesus. And I think it's kind of fascinating, because how long did these guys spend with Jesus? They were with him for over 3 years. And if you recall, on Maundy Thursday, they take their first communion with Jesus. The new covenant has been given. This is my body, this is my blood. Out with the old covenant, in with the new covenant. This is my body, this is my blood. I have longed to partake of this with you. And then just a few short hours later, after going through 3 years of confirmation with Jesus and instruction, after receiving the new and everlasting covenant, what does Peter do? He denies Jesus 3 times. And think about that in our own life. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And then we say, this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This doesn't sound like gospel. But these are biting and hard words from Jesus to remind us of who we truly are in our lives. We have failed. We have come even to the season of Lent and said, I'm not going to get on social media. I'm not going to eat any chocolate or wine. I'm going to be nicer to everybody. I'm not going to eat fried foods. And now where do we find ourselves? Maybe in the second week. We've had some wine. We've had a little bit of chocolate. We've checked Snapchat or Instagram or Facebook just on our lunch break. And everybody is so annoying, more so, right? We have failed. We have said that we're going to stand. We stumble, we trip, and we fail. And so how do we change this? We change this by coming to the altar of God, the God of our exceeding joy, and we open up our hearts and acknowledge who we are, so that these sins, these failures that we have committed, may be taken up by Jesus so that he can become the greatest sinner and failure in our midst, and so that he may proclaim from that cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I am not ashamed of them, Heavenly Father. I am not ashamed, even to the point of my own death, and I will speak wonderful, beautiful, colorful and holy things about them in the midst of a sinful generation. Let them live. Let them be forgiven. Let them be with me forever, despite any kinds of failures. And we all have them. That's the beauty of Lent. That's the beauty of looking at our lives and not coming into a place like this and saying, well, I'm certainly not as nice as these people over here, or certainly not here as much as these people over there. It is simply about acknowledging where we are at and rejoicing that we have a Savior who loves us so much that he meets us in the midst of all of these things to forgive, to love, to bring about hope, and to set our minds on the things of God and all of the things that he has done for you. Because we know in a few short weeks we will be at the Easter celebration. We will be at the empty tomb. We will hear and see Jesus just like Peter did, alive in his flesh and blood, still with the scars of his cross and his passion, but alive, proclaiming victory over everything in our lives. And he can bear fruit, even in the midst of our failures. Shortly after Jesus rose from the dead, you find in John's gospel that the disciples are on the beach cooking breakfast. They're having some fish. And Jesus appears and sits down with them, and he has breakfast with them. And in the midst of the breakfast, Jesus looks over at Peter. Peter, who failed in saying the truth about Jesus to people three different times. And he asks Peter, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And he says, "Tend to my lambs." Jesus asks him a second time, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, yes, I do. I do love you." He says, "Feed my sheep." "Simon Peter," he says a third time, "do you love me?" Peter, taken aback, astonished by this, says, "Lord, you know all things. I love you." And he tells Peter, "Feed my sheep." Peter was cut to the heart on that beach where Jesus asked him once again, "Do you love me?" He was once again faced with his own failure to confess truly who Jesus is according to the Word of God. But you see here what a wonderful and loving and forgiving Savior we have. Jesus does not sit there on the beach and say, "Get in line, Peter, get it straight." He bears fruit in Peter's life by forgiving him. What once was a threefold denial of Jesus is now a threefold absolution and forgiveness of Peter's sin, and Jesus sets him straight in line under the cross, and as you know the rest of the story, Peter will go out and become one of the greatest preachers of all time. God can bear fruit even in the midst of our failures. And so in the midst of this Lenten season, in the midst of your life as a Christian, keep that in mind. Come to the Holy Eucharist. Lay it all out on Jesus here. Lay all the sin, the shame, the guilt, all of the things that haunt you from your past, lay out all of your failures to Him. And if these things are terribly bothering you, make an appointment to come and see me and talk about these even more, all in the strictest confidentiality, so that you may not go from this place feeling ashamed, guilty, or as a failure, but as one who is redeemed, forgiven, restored, and loved by God, who has gone to the greatest depths of giving up His life for you. We may fail, but He will bear fruit in us no matter what, because He has borne the fruit of our sin on the cross and now gives us the fruit of His resurrection and His life everlasting with His Easter victory. To Christ alone be all the glory now and forever. Amen. We rise and confess our holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.